sleeper pick out of the, at least to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, could be Ottawa. I think the pieces are finally falling into place, and Auston Matthews not coming into the season fully healthy. I think Nylander is going to be really good, and I think Tavares has less pressure.
Sidney Crosby will not finish the season a Pittsburgh Penguin.
I was going to put Crosby gets traded by the trade deadline, but I was like, I don't know if I'm going to touch that button, and you just fucking touched that button. Welcome to the Check Up From Behind podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm your host, Zach, as always, joined by my co-host, Preston. NHL hockey is fucking this week. We're talking regular season hockey starts the 8th of October.
That starts like Tuesday, right?
Maybe it is Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, today's the 3rd,
so
yeah.
Maybe it's the 6th then.
I know it starts, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday.
No, it's the 7th. It's Tuesday. I know for a fact it's Tuesday.
Yeah, there's like, it's like a 5 o'clock game. It's a Blackhawks
why do we,
and
first
Panthers.
Off, why do we have the Panthers playing the fucking Chicago Blackhawks?
I don't.
On a 5 o'clock on a Tuesday. I get like the NHL wanting to play the Stanley Cup champion the first game of the season, but like fucking match them up against.
Well,
the better
it's
because
ESPN's having a triple header and they didn't want a game like 5 o'clock Blackhawks Panthers, 8 o'clock Penguins Rangers. Whew.
Yeah,
and then 10:30 Avalanche Kings. So those are all ESPN. So
you know what I think the NHL should do with that is if they really want the Stanley Cup champion to play the first game of the season, why don't you just have it on a lone night like. It's the only game at like 7
I agree with you. Especially like if you're going to start the season on Tuesday, just have it be like 7, 8 o'clock banner raising mm-hmm. ceremony. Like they're the defending champs. They earned that right.
Mm-hmm. Like most people are just getting out of work at 3, 4, 5 o'clock and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Especially if people that live there.
Right.
Like if you're going to the game, you're going to have to leave work early.
Yeah.
Because the traffic's going to be crazy. Because, yeah, I don't like 5 o'clock games in any sport. But
no, I don't. Speaking of like. Dude, the MLB postseason, I know you don't really watch the baseball, but they went from having all the games like at 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock.
Well, they were playing like the wild card games at the same time, right?
Well,
they weren't
they
like
try not...
individual?
No, they do it individual now. Like on a random Wednesday, they'll have a game at 1, 3, 5, 7,
a playoff game at 1 o'clock?
In the middle of the week, yes. They started doing that 2 years ago.
What? That's crazy.
It's stupid. I know.
Playoff game in the middle of the day. Oh, my God.
It's stupid.
I would understand if it was a weekend, but not on a weekday. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, on a weekend, like on a Saturday and Sunday, or like on a...
Well, they're not going to do it on a Sunday.
Like on Columbus Day, too, that's coming up soon. Like, have it like that. Kids are off for school, families are off for work, whatever, etc. Like, on the middle of a Wednesday, like, it's crazy. All right, so we got some news to dive into. Kirill Kaprizov signed the largest contract in NHL history, an 8x$17 million deal. The Wild gave him what he, I think, deserved, honestly. As of right now, he's the highest paid player.
Crazy contract, man. Crazy. I mean, well-deserved. Congratulations to mm-hmm. Kirill. I'm never going to fault a player for taking a contract that a team offers him. I can't believe... I can't get over the number, 17.
$136 million.
I know we're going to have to get used to players getting paid more. I'm still used to like 13 being a big number for a player.
Yeah, me too.
And 17 like blows it out of the water. And, you know, 8 years, so we can officially squash the talks that Kirill's going to leave Minnesota. I'm glad the Wild got this done now so they don't have to worry about it for the future. And now they can begin to plan all of their future mm-hmm. contracts around this contract. I don't really have too many issues with the contract. Kirill just needs to stay healthy, really. Yeah. I know they rely on him a lot and they put him on the ice a lot. And he missed a bunch of time the last few years with injuries. The Wild are a completely different team when he plays, though. And you got to look at it from 2 points. Like, A, yeah, he's a top five player in this league, so he's gonna get that kind of money. But outside of guys maybe like Connor McDavid and like a couple like Auston Matthews, is there any other player like more important to the individual team than Kirill Kaprizov? Like, like I'm just saying like if they're out, they have a much greater chance of losing.
I think the Devils, Jack Hughes.
Okay.
I think the Sabres, Rasmus Dahlin.
But I'm talking about how it's like the point, like production as well, because like
I wouldn't necessarily say Kucherov because I mean that top six is really good, but
they're worse without him.
Yeah,
but
for
like,
sure.
But what I'm trying to say is Kirill Kaprizov is pretty much the Minnesota Wild. I know they have Matt Boldy, Marco Rossi's become I think a star in the making, but. They are a completely different team when Kirill Kaprizov's on the ice, and they're mm-hmm. paying him like that.
They are.
I don't really have too many issues with the contract. I don't think it will age too badly if growth continues in the league like the league expects it to, with the cap going up mm-hmm. every year. So by the time this contract's over, you know, 8 years, who knows what the salary cap's going to be at? And $17 million might not be a crazy number. I think it'll still, like, even in 8 years, it'll still be like a highly paid. It will probably still be like a top 20% player contract mm-hmm. in the league, but it won't be crazy.
I mean, I'm looking at this deal as a, like, you're going to have to, the way the cap's going, you're going to have to pay him the big bucks. Because obviously, we know a couple weeks ago, he ended up rejecting an 8x16. And by the way, Bill Guerin and Kaprizov were fucking furious that got leaked out of the organization. Deservedly so, because, you know, when there were reports saying that Kaprizov, the first time he walked back in the locker room after that happened, he was embarrassed. Because it's like, you know, he could be looked at in the locker room as, oh, you greedy motherfucker. How are you going to turn out $60 million? Which is fair, by the way. But what this contract does for the rest of the league now, especially McDavid, Jack Eichel, Kyle Connor, et cetera.
Oh, it sets a precedent, yeah.
Even like Adrian Kempe and Alex Tuch, who are talking extensively.
It's going to drive the price up for every player because I get, like I said, Kaprizov's a top five player in this league.
Back to the point, what I was saying about McDavid, Eichel, et cetera, those players, like, now, I know Elliot Friedman a couple weeks ago reported that maybe we could be looking at a 2x14. There is no way in hell, if I'm McDavid, I look at this, I'm like, I'm taking $14 million for the next 2 years. I'm like,
that's a team-friendly deal.
That's a very team-friendly deal. I would look at that as, okay, you know, at least match the deal. Maybe look at $18 million if I'm McDavid, even for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. And with Eichel, with Vegas and Eichel now talking heavy on contract extension, negotiations, stuff like that.
I could see Eichel taking a team-friendly deal.
We're looking at $14 to $15 million for him. Which I think is fair value, which mm-hmm. it could be looked at as a little bit of a discount, especially if, let's say, they get something done right before the season start within the next few days or, like, a little bit into it, whatever. Like, if he goes out and puts up a 120-point season, now, you know, you just sign him for a 7 or 8 year deal worth $15 million, that looks like a steal.
I'm honestly kind of surprised there wasn't more of a push to get some more 8 year mm-hmm. contracts done, because this is the last year it's an option for teams.
Yep.
Yeah, next year, the max will be 7 and 6 will be the max for UFAs on a new team. So, you know, there was another big contract that got signed the other day that we're going to talk about in a moment. But yeah, I thought there, especially with these pending UFAs, like you mentioned, Jack Eichel, mm-hmm. Alex Tuch, Kyle Connor, like I thought there would be more momentum, like more push from the organization to try to get those longer term deals mm-hmm. done as soon as they could. Maybe there was, and the players just say, no, I want to wait and see, or they're trying to get to a number, you know. Play. I think it's generally a rule of thumb is once the season starts, you kind of hold up on the negotiation. You don't want it to become a distraction, and players just want to focus on hockey. If you want to talk to their agent, talk to their agent. But usually, there's not many midseason deals that are signed.
Yeah, it's all before the season in training camp or like in like that end of the season to like July 1st type range. And
yeah, no, I mean after the trade deadline anyway, you can't even sign extensions. Right. So. Maybe I could see some deals maybe getting done like the Olympic break this year for players that aren't in the Olympics that have some mm-hmm. time to like, you know, renegotiate some stuff, or like Carolina signed some players to contract extensions when they were in between playoff rounds, because technically they were allowed to.
Yes.
Once the playoffs start, you can re-sign players. But yeah, I thought it would be more of a push to get more contracts done.
I mean, I look at this too, like, now we're looking at Adrian Kempe. He's going to be getting 11 to 12. Mm-hmm. Alex Tuch is in that double-digit number. He's probably going to be getting $10 to $11 million, et cetera. And the Jets and Kyle Connor started talking earlier about extensions as well. I mean, he could be around the Jack Eichel range, maybe a little bit lower too. Like, again, like, it's going to have an effect on the entire NHL. I have a ripple effect. And Kaprizov, mm-hmm. he completely set the market to how it's going to go. And now you're looking at guys like Luke Hughes, who just signed a new contract. And you just look at Jackson Lacombe as well, another young, up-and-coming, promising defenseman, signed an $8 by $9 million, which is the largest contract in the Ducks' history. Like, those two guys now, teams are starting to get ahead of these contracts.
Oh, for sure. You got to do with these young players like Drake Sanderson in Ottawa mm-hmm. and Owen Power in Buffalo. Like, those are two examples of teams trying to get ahead of a contract. Where,
Dustin Wolf in Calgary.
Dustin Wolf in Calgary. Like, if a player wants to be there and you think they're going to continue to grow, you just get the deal done.
What do you think on a Luke Hughes deal?
I like it. I don't really have an issue with it. I know he wanted, like, there's rumors that he wanted, like, more of a 5-6 year deal. Mm-hmm. They managed to get 7 out of him. No issue with that.
$7 million deal, I think right now, obviously, he's not worth the $9 million. But I think in 2, 3, 4 seasons, we're going to be looking at this as similar to either the Jack Hughes deal or, like, even, I mean, you look at some of these other defensemen, you're like, I still can't believe Darnell Nurse is getting 9.5.
But see, like, Darnell Nurse is a good example of what happens when you kind of take a risk like this is it can, like, be an amazing contract. Like Jack Hughes, for instance. I remember when Jack Hughes signed his contract extension. I was like, what? This kid, like, what are you talking about? Everyone was calling him a bust at that time. And then now he's a star. Darnell Nurse was the opposite effect, where he was a little bit older when he signed the contract extension. I think it was like 23, 24.
Yeah, but he looked good though.
He looked like he was going to keep going up, but then he kind of flatlined. Now I think he's getting worse.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of seasons he's looked better, but again,
he's serviceable.
Yeah,
like he's not he's an NHL defenseman. Don't get me wrong. We're not saying he's bad, but is he worth that money? No,
right.
God no.
And I look at Luke Hughes, where I think this is going to turn more like the Jake Sanderson stuff, where. When Sanderson signed the contract after 1 year, it's like,
oh, everyone was laughing at the Senators. Like, what are you doing? Like, you don't know what you got in this kid. And, yo, it's a gamble. It's a gamble with all these kinds of contracts. An interesting thing I saw someone point about the Hughes contract is right now at this point in his career, his age, his numbers are very similar to his brother Quinn's.
Yes, I did see that.
If his contract, if he can keep getting better at the rate that Quinn got, that's going to $9 million is a steal.
It is. And I like that comparison. It is just like kind of the contract, the first big boy contract that Quinn got. And outside of, like, offensively, Luke Hughes, like you said, is on par with Quinn Hughes. Defensively, Quinn was a little bit better, but you have to also look at this too, where going into Vancouver, Quinn was basically already the number one defenseman. Luke Hughes doesn't need to be that right now with Dougie Hamilton and Brendan Dillon and these other vets being in New Jersey and helping kind of guide him along. Like, his first couple seasons, he has looked better than what some people may have expected.
I think Luke Hughes is going to keep getting better and better and better. I think this is a fine contract. It could blow up in their face, but I don't think it will.
You're right. And going over to Jackson Lacombe's contract, which I kind of found that as a shock. There was nothing on that at all. And I mean, again, another case of the Ducks want to get ahead of these contracts. They want to pay, they want to quote unquote pay them long-term deals now, because Jackson Lacombe truly turns into a top-tier defenseman in this league, a franchise defenseman for the Anaheim Ducks. Again, $9 million looks like an absolute steal for the Ducks coming 3 years from now.
That contract kind of came out of nowhere too. I found it kind of funny that, you know, they were hard-lining Mason McTavish so bad about the contract. Literally took him till like a week before the season started to get a contract signed. And then Lacombe, I believe he's on the last year of his entry-level contract, right?
Yeah.
And they just get that as soon as McTavish is done. It's okay, let's get you signed. And they get it done in the day.
And with the Mason the Mason McTavish stuff, we heard like 3 days before, he's skating with the Ottawa 67s. There's nothing even close. One day later, it's done. Like, that's how fast it can progress. And Jackson Lacombe, by the way, at 23 years old, I'm looking at his advanced hockey stats with like percentiles and everything. Everything's in the blue here, which is really good.
Well, the analytics back it up. I think a lot of people don't really know a lot about him because he plays for the Ducks.
Yeah.
Which they haven't been very good, and they don't have too big of a pull. They don't really get many national games. And they play really late, so I really don't watch the Ducks very often. Do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, they're a fun team to watch when I do watch them, but I mean, having to work every morning and having them play at 10 o'clock for 50, 60-plus games, like, it's a no-go for me.
Especially when they're more towards the bottom of the standings, as they have been the last few years. But, yeah, I think this is another contract I think that will age gracefully. The numbers back it up that he's gotten better and better every year, and the Ducks clearly believe that he's going to keep getting better, and they view him as a number one defenseman.
The Florida Panthers cannot keep getting away with this. Nico Mikola, for 8 years, signed for $5 million. And for those of you who don't know, before coming to Florida, Mikola was a fringe second pair defenseman, most likely a third pair. He comes to Florida. He is a shutdown defenseman for them, pure shutdown defenseman for them. One of the best defensive defensemen in the league. Florida has turned his career around, and they're like, yeah, we'll give you $5 million. And he's like, I'll fucking take it. And I want to bring something up real quick, because when Elliot Friedman on the 32 Thoughts podcast brought up about the whole like taxes thing, because obviously Brad Marchand about a month ago said that if it wasn't for the no taxes none of the three major Panthers would have been
kept. I think there's a little bit of truth to that. I think it's more Bradshaw kind of being an ass a little bit and making and trying to get people going. Yeah.
That's him. I love that for Brad. But like Elliot Freeman brought up like somebody brought up the Elliot Freeman about you balancing out like the no tax states with the tax takes, et cetera, and the Canadian states and stuff. A, it would just complicate everything. And B, why would you punish a team like Florida to have $8 million less in cap space than a team in well, it would be the same, but they'd have $8 million less in cap space now compared to a team in California that can spend up to the cap, but then Florida can't spend up to the cap because of no taxes and everything, and that would be...
There's nothing the NHL can do
about
the tax stuff. I think if they tried to, it would be too complicated, especially in the States. I'm not too familiar with the Canada stuff, but, you know, taxes, you have the federal taxes that seem to change every few years, and then the state taxes, which can change every few years. They constantly change every few years when they pass a new budget and all this other stuff. So it would be kind of a nightmare to balance that. I don't think any other league does that either.
No.
You know, because, I don't think, like the Kings, they didn't have a problem getting guys signed to long-term deals or any like the higher, like the Rangers, for example. New York City is one of the highest tax places in the country to live. They don't really have an issue signing guys to long-term deals.
And Florida couldn't get anybody here, and they started winning. It's not
winning. It's winning.
It is winning. It's winning. Like, Florida is one of the most beautiful states in the entire country, in North America in general. And Florida was not good before 2021,
They were laughable. Yeah, they were bad.
Nobody wanted to sign with Florida, no matter for how much money. And like you said,
old guys liked going there. But
yeah. I mean, you're not getting a Matthew Tkachuk or a Sam Reinhardt.
It's like all the old guys go to Arizona in the NFL. It's a nice place to live.
Exactly,
when you're
right?
You're at the end of your career.
Fucking Calais Campbell, who is in like his 17th NFL season, goes there. Like, it's just winning. And I hate that people do complain about the salary cap stuff, because personally I'm like, listen, if you don't like it, just fucking get better then.
Yeah, no, genuinely. I completely agree with you. Yeah, I think the taxes do play a little bit of a factor. Mm-hmm. Like if it's like two really good organizations, and if the player is, it's really about the money for them. Mm-hmm. And they can get like an extra $500,000 playing in Florida versus like, I don't know, like Utah, for instance. Yeah. Like, I'm just naming a random state. No idea what the taxes are like in Utah, but there are a few like no income tax states in the United States. I know Florida is one of them.
Yeah,
but winning changes everything, and players, when they are in an organization they believe in, and they see the other, like, look, like, why wouldn't you want to sign a long-term deal with the Panthers? They have their whole core locked up long-term. Right. You know you're going to be good for the foreseeable future. You'll take a little bit less, but you'll be winning. You'll be in a playoff. You'll be in playoff contention every year.
It's like the vibes too. They have the right GM. Mm-hmm. They have the right owner, the right coach. They have the right players. It's at this point with Florida, it's not about, oh, I can sign for $5 million here and get my full $5 million rather than going to LA for $5 million and only getting $3 million and now LA's first round exits. It's like, especially with re-signing guys too, like, you've been on the team for the last couple of years. You love playing in Florida. You love the state. You love the team. You love everything about it. Why not stay for a little bit of a team discount? That's why sometimes too, you look at players that it's like, wow, he only got this much. Maybe they just really like the city of the team that much too. Like,
well, I think Brock Besser is a good example of that in Vancouver. He could have got more money on the open market. He liked living in Vancouver. He wanted to stay there.
He literally called Quinn pissed off because on the day of free agency or the day before, Brock Besser's like, dude, like, I want to be in Vancouver so bad, but I'm pissed that I'm not going to be here. And the next day, he hits the open market and he's in Vancouver anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just like, obviously, it's a combination of everything at this point. It's hard to predict. Like we talked about many times over the offseason, maybe one player, it is about winning. Maybe one player has a family or grew up in that and he wants to be closer to home. Maybe
that was a good example of Johnny Gaudreau when he chose to sign with the Blue Jackets. He wanted a place to raise his family that he felt was safe, so he chose Columbus.
And everybody was like, why go to fucking Columbus? And
because, it's his choice, man. He liked it there. Like, another, like, let's say like McDavid somehow becomes a free agent and the Sabres offer him $20 million a year. He's not going to take that contract because why the fuck would he want to play for the Sabres?
Right. And if fucking the Maple Leafs offer him $16 million, he might be more inclined to go there because they're a much better team and it's his hometown team.
But there's a million different factors to go in choosing where a player choosing where they want to go. Taxes are definitely a part of that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. We're not saying it's not a problem, but I don't think it's as big a deal as people think it is.
I agree with that statement. This episode is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. I use DraftKings to win big, and you should too. The NFL is in full swing, and there's no better way to get in on the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. From first-time touchdown score to taking the over on Josh Allen's total touchdowns or the thrill of just live betting, DraftKings has it all. And here's the best part. For new customers, you can bet just $5, and if your bet hits, you'll get $200 in bonus bets. Your team hitting pay dirt pays out to you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code in all caps, THPN, to turn $5 into $200 in bonus bets if your bet hits. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, that is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for gambling problems. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort Kansas, fees may apply in Illinois. Must be the age of 21 years or older. Age and eligibility vary by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 7 days after insurance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos for details. NFL Sunday Ticket offer for new subscribers only. Auto renews until canceled. Digital games and commercial use excluded. Restrictions apply. Additional terms at youtube.com/pro/NFL Sunday Ticket/terms. Limited time offer.
All right, quick time out before we get back to the action. This episode is brought to you by W Energy. Listen, hockey's fast, and whether you're breaking down plays, yelling shoot from the couch, or just getting in a workout, you've got to stay sharp. That's where W comes in. Clean energy with zero sugar, no crash, no artificial flavors or dyes. Just 150 milligrams of caffeine per serving, about 2 cups of coffee's worth to keep you locked in and ready to go. Personally, I use W before the gym, on the ice, and even when prepping content for the pod. If you need that extra spark, whether you're grinding through work, lifting, or lacing up the skates, W's got you covered. Head over to W.gg and use code CFBPOD for 10% off your order. That's W.gg, code CFBPOD for 10% off your order. Fuel up. Stay locked in, and let's get back to the episode. Let's get into our season preview because we have the NHL season upon us now. We're going to start with our award prediction. We're going to go through the Hart, the Art Ross, the Rocket, the Norris, the Calder, Vezina, Selke, and Jack Adams, go through our Stanley Cup final matchup, and then who will win. And then I have a couple bold predictions, and then Preston will react to them, and who knows, maybe he'll come up with some on this spot. So let's get right into this with the Hart Trophy. I have... for the second straight year, Kirill Kaprizov winning the Hart Trophy. I mean,
better after that contract
dude,
he signed.
Like, yeah, like my only issue, my only worry with him is, like we discussed briefly, is his health, right? If he only plays 50, 60 games this season, he's not obviously winning it. But if he plays between 70 to 82 games and he puts up 120, 130 points, like he'll win it. And be in his 41 games that he played last season, his pace, if he played a full 82-game season, was 120 points. He would have put up 50 fucking goals. So,
Kirill, if you're somehow listening to this, you're getting paid $17 million a year now. Hire your own personal trainer, your own massage therapist, your own cook, your own have your own everything. And after every game, get a nice massage. Get all the best treatment in the world because the Minnesota Wild could not afford to not have you playing.
Who knows? Maybe they won't start off as hot. And then if he goes out for another 2 months of the season, they completely miss the playoffs. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a bad take. No. I mean, last year, Kaprizov, like before he got hurt, was running away with the points in the league. And everything changed when he got hurt. I think part of that is like I think he knows how much the Wild rely on him, and he probably goes a little harder than he needs to, especially in like a regular season game in November, because he knows like it ended up paying. They barely made the playoffs, and if he didn't push that hard in November, they probably don't make the playoffs.
And I wonder if that's why he was like, "Yeah, I don't want 16, I want 17," because he knows the Wild are desperate to keep him too.
I mean, it's a million. It's $1 million. I mean, I don't know how big of a difference that makes to you when you're making that much money.
That's true.
But I mean, if you could take the extra money, you'll get it. I mean, that was what was holding up the first time when he turned on the contract. And the Wild were like, what more do you want? It's like, change it to 17. He's like, okay, fine, sign the fucking contract.
Yeah.
Because at that, when you're paying a guy that much, what difference is another $1 million?
It doesn't make a difference,
really. Yeah. My Hart Award winner prediction is Jack Eichel, Vegas Golden Knights. I think we're going to see a different Jack Eichel this year with Mitch Marner glued to his wing. I think he's going to erupt this year, and I think he's going to have this might be a bold prediction here, 120-plus points.
I'm fucking with that.
I think Jack Eichel is going to be a stud this year, and I think he will win the Hart Trophy.
I love this pick. He was one of those guys that I was debating too. But I mean, Jack Eichel last season, he put up 60 plus assists.
Best player season in Vegas Golden Knights history. I know it's very short history, but yeah. And also the best year of his career. He's just going to keep getting better. He's happy. He's healthy. And now he has an elite winger.
Putting Mitch Marner on his wings is just going to accelerate both of them to another level.
I think there might be some growing pains at the beginning of the season, learning how to play with each other. I mean, thankfully, they've played together in the preseason as well, and they've had some early sparks, but maybe a little bit slower season. But I think once he gets going, man, he's going to be hard to stop.
I bet you there will be a stretch sometime right after the new year where those two have separately probably 20 points, Mike. We're talking 12, 13 games. I can almost guarantee
that. That power play is going to be so nasty, too.
Oh, my God. They have so many snipers, too. I think Dvorak is going to have 40 goals.
He's also probably going to be on that line with Eichel and Marner. And
can even throw Barbashev on that line, too.
And you got two elite playmakers just dishing them to one. You just got to put it in.
Mark Stone, Tomas Hertl, two.
I don't know how you play defense against that line.
You can't play defense against Vegas in general.
You just got to knock them on their ass.
Dude, yeah. Moving on to the Art Ross Trophy. Speaking of Jack Eichel, I have Jack Eichel winning the Art Ross, dude. Again, I think 120-plus points this season, which I might be a little bit – we both might be a little bit super high in Eichel. But, man, dude, I really think 130 points for Jack Eichel.
I mean, isn't everybody really high in the Vegas Golden Knights right now? I know they're, like, the hot pick
going
into the season, deservedly so. But I don't – 130 points would kind of blow me away.
That would be insane.
But – yeah, I don't really have an issue with that pick, considering I just picked him to win MVP. Mm-hmm. But for my Art Ross, I'm just going with the easy option, Nikita Kucherov. The dude's just a machine.
Yeah.
He does not stop. He's been so consistently good for so long. Like he won the Art Ross last year, and I feel like nobody really talked about it.
Everybody expected it from him.
I mean, I think people were like a little surprised he didn't win MVP. I wasn't super surprised with that year Hellebuck had. Yeah. I think he was second place for MVP. The dude's just a machine. He produces so much. If you look at the score sheet for most Lightning games, his name's on almost every goal.
Guess how many 80-plus assist seasons he has?
Six.
Four.
Yeah, that's
it's
crazy.
It's insane. I mean, dude, he's had 80-plus the last three seasons. 83, 100, and the last season, 84 assists.
Dude, like I said, he's so consistent.
He is.
It's hard for me to pick. There's a few guys in this league. You'll see with my awards, there's a few guys that – it's extremely hard for me to pick against them. I know they're the betting favorite, and the betting favorite for a reason.
I mean, it is fun to, you know, pick like some, oh, like I want to predict that this guy's going to win it when everybody's picking this guy, and et cetera. But like it is, you know, almost like a slam dunk going like, here's Kucherov for McKinnon to win.
Sometimes you don't need to overthink things. Right. Sometimes the answer is just staring you right in the face.
Exactly. Moving on to the Rocket, I have David Pastrnak winning it, dude. This dude can put the puck in the back of the net at will. I'm looking at him, Austin Matthews, Leon Draisaitl being the three guys. It's really going to be a tight race as long as all three stay healthy the entire season.
Yeah.
And I mean, dude, 50-plus, 55 goals, I think, is a very, very solid bet for David Pastrnak.
I agree with you as well. I also picked David Pastrnak to win the Rocket. Guy I was thinking really a lot about, this kind of a sleeper pick, was Tage Thompson.
I was thinking him, too.
Dude, he had 44 goals last year, and he's going to be on a mission to make Team USA. But anyway, getting back to Pastrnak, I think we're going to see even more offense out of him this year, especially the Bruins aren't going to be great this year.
Yeah.
And I think Pastrnak's going to put a lot of pressure on himself to make up for those empty spaces in their lineup. And I think he's a scoring machine, and I think he can have 50, 55 plus goals this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. Moving on to the Norris, I have Quinn Hughes winning the Norris. As you guys know, if you guys are listeners and viewers, whatever, I'm huge on Quinn Hughes, and I'll stand by this the day I die. Two reasons why Quinn Hughes did not win the Norris this past season was because Cale Makar scored 30 goals and Quinn Hughes was hurt for 13 games, whatever. I love Cale Makar, though. Like, this is a situation where, like, with the Norris, this is one of those, don't overthink it. It's either Cale Makar or Quinn Hughes. Pick who you like more.
Yeah, those two are in a tier of their own.
It's, like, crazy, too. Yeah, because you'll have, like, those two guys, as long as both stay healthy, knock on wood. And then you have a third guy that's just going to erupt. And it's like, yeah, he's here just because we need a third guy.
Who was the third guy last year?
Zach Werenski.
I mean, he had a good season last year.
Really
but
good season.
I picked Cale Makar. I picked him last year. I'm going to pick him every year until he proves me otherwise. I just think up and down, like, you're going to say, oh, he only scored 30 goals last year. He's an elite defensive defenseman, too. Like, he can do everything. He can be a shutdown defenseman. He can drive the play.
Quinn Hughes, too.
He can score. I'm not saying Quinn Hughes is bad.
I know. Go ahead.
Like, I think Quinn and Kale are in a league of all their own. Mm-hmm. I think it's them two and then everybody else.
I agree. And you know what? Sometimes, like, I sit here and I'm like, Quinn, like, I try to tell people that Quinn's so much better, but it's like, why try to convince people that Quinn is better than Kale when you just have to appreciate how good they are in their own right? Because it's the same way, like, with NFL quarterbacks like Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar. It's like, stop fucking arguing who's better than who and just be like,
Burrow ain't top three.
He's not top three, no. I mean, he can't stay healthy. But, like, it's the point being, though, is, like, you know, just appreciate how good these players are. Like, Quinn and Kale, like, again, what they do, like, is so nasty. The only two defensemen in the league right now that I look that can give you 85 points and still be in the 100th percentile in defense. It's insane.
Yeah, they just log so many misses. I just want to shout out my fantasy team. I somehow got Quinn Hughes and Rasmus Dahlin on the same fantasy team.
What pick did you have?
I had the fourth pick, but I had a keeper, and I kept Leon Draisaitl. I didn't realize I'd lose my pick.
Yeah.
And I got Dahlin, I think, like, in the second round. I was looking, like, Quinn was, like, there in the fifth round. I was like, what the fuck?
I would have expected you to take Quinn before Dahlin.
No, I took Dahlin first, and I saw Quinn was still there. I was like, what the hell?
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I got Quinn Hughes and Rasmus Dahlin. My fantasy team's kind of nasty, man.
That's sick. How many leagues are you in? Just one or
just
even
two?
Multiple? Just two, okay. Yeah. Nice.
I have my
nice.
Other draft tomorrow.
Yeah,
this is my buy-in league tomorrow.
I didn't know you were buying. That's
true. Yeah, my old workplace. Like, there's a guy that works there. He runs a league. He invited me last year.
That's cool.
2 years ago. I won the first year, actually. I won like $400.
God damn.
Yeah, last year, kind of a rough season. But
I mean, it happens to the best.
I picked Roman Josi in the first round.
Oh, that's a little rough. I mean, yeah. I'm looking at, like, shout out to the Hockey Writers in 16-man league. I got it wrong last night. It's a 16-man league. And
your team's not bad for how deep that league
no,
is.
Not. It
your,
is not,
your
like,
goalies are dog shit.
My
but.
Goalie, I'm super high on Lucas Salso though.
I didn't see him in the screenshots.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I thought you just had Gustafsson and Jack Greaves. I was like, ooh. That's...
Oh, maybe it is. I think I picked Gustafsson because Salso got sniped before me.
Okay.
I mean, I got Dahlin, Nylander, and Jesper Bratt in the top three rounds, which is nice. Back to the awards though. Going on to the Calder Trophy. I'm not overthinking this. I'm going Ivan Demidov. I love Zane Parekh. I love Jimmy Snuggerud, and I love these other guys, Ziv Buium. But I'm just looking at Ivan Demidov. I think he's going to have a monster season in Montreal. And, I mean, a phenomenal talent. He's going to be looking at a better season than what Michkov had last season, which was an insane season as a rookie in general.
Well, no one's going to beat I can't think of the defense. Who won last year? I can't think of his name. I don't know why. Rookie of the Year.
Didn't Michkov win it?
No. Lane Hudson. Yeah,
oh,
no one was beating him last year.
Yeah, nobody was. I mean, a ridiculous rookie season, 60-plus assists, 70-plus points.
Yeah, I was really torn between two players. I ended up choosing Jimmy Snuggerud from St. Louis Blues.
Okay.
I thought he looked really good for them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's going to offer an opportunity to play in their top six. He's going to get a lot of ice time there. I mean, Demidov's a really good pick as well. I know he's the odds-on favorite right now. A guy I was really thinking about throwing in there too was Zane Parekh from the Calgary Flames. Defense, I think he's going to have a bit of an up-and-down season, you know, playing defense. I don't know if necessarily we get getting a lot of power play time like Lane Hudson was in Montreal. Mm-hmm. It's typically pretty – defensemen don't win rookie of the year very often.
I mean, especially when you have Anderson and Uyghur already in Calgary.
Yeah, that's
Lane
what I'm
Hudson
saying.
Was pretty much the number one there already.
Yeah.
So I get that. All right, going on to the Vezina Trophy. I could go with Connor Hellebuck winning his third straight. I could go with, like, Jake Oettinger, a sleeper pick who I think is going to have a monster year. However, though, I'm going with more of a safe pick here in Igor Shesterkin. A lot of people talking about how he had a quote-unquote down season last season. It was to his standards. He still had a pretty good season.
I mean, the Rangers weren't good.
They weren't good. And I think this season he's back to his .920 save percentage self. He's going to carry the Rangers to a potential playoff berth. And I don't know. I don't think I have the Rangers making the playoffs.
I don't
Metro,
have them making the playoffs.
But
no.
I think that if they do get in the playoffs, though, Shesterkin is the Vezina Trophy winner. I mean, if he gets a .920 save percentage, then they'll make the playoffs. There's something wrong with that team in front of him because fuck.
I think there is something wrong with the team in front of him.
Right
so.
Now, yeah.
But I went with a no-brainer pick, in my opinion. Best goaltender in the world right now, Connor Hellebuck of the Winnipeg Jets. Yeah, he's just simply the best. He's won 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. He won MVP last year. I don't know if he's going to have another season like he had last year where he's going to win MVP again. But until someone proves otherwise, he's the best goaltender in the world. He ain't winning this. He ain't losing this award.
Okay, that's not a bad take. I mean, you have to go with, like, Hellebuck, Shesterkin, Jake Oettinger.
There's, like, a few goalies that are kind of like with Quinn and Kale. Like, those two, almost everyone's going to pick those two to win, mm-hmm. win the Norris. And with the Vezina, I would say, like, yeah, Hellebuck. I don't know if Oettinger belongs in that conversation right now.
I mean, he's a tier below, but I think that he is probably going to be a Vezina
finalist. I think right now there's, like, three goalies, like Hellebuck, Shesterkin, and Vasilevsky.
I think Vasilevsky could be another
runner-up. He was
pick.
The runner-up last yeah. year. He's I know he's had a couple down years dealing with some injury. He's played a lot of hockey the last few yes. years.
I mean, last season he was ridiculously good.
And he played like 60 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he had him and Kemper at similar numbers.
I think Kemper is going to fall off a bit this year. I don't think he's going to be bad, but he's not going to have like those kinds of numbers again.
No, I would be shocked if he did, though. Going on to the Selke Award, again, this award's kind of hard to kind of predict.
Well, this award was the Alexander Barkov Award until he got hurt.
Yes.
So.
And I would have picked Alexander Barkov if he didn't get hurt. Yeah. I was going between Nico Hischier and Sam Reinhart and Anthony Cirelli. I ended up picking Nico Hischier of the Devils. I just think what he does defensively, I know he kind of had a down year defensively last season, but I think this is the year where he gets back to that pace. And, I mean, Sam Reinhart and Anthony Cirelli are phenomenal talents there. Uh-huh. And I think with Barkov being out for 7 to 9 months at least, most likely the entire season.
He's
going to
miss the whole season, yeah.
You're looking at, I think these are the three guys that are really going to be the finalists.
Yeah, I picked Sam Reinhart to win. I think what really pushed me to make a decision is Barkov being out, and I think mm-hmm. Sam Reinhart is going to – a lot of guys on the Panthers forward are going to have to step up their game, and I think Sam Reinhart can and will, and I think, yeah, he's going to step up his game in all facets, and I think he's going to be, yeah, I think almost unanimous Selke winner this year.
You know what had me thinking about it listening to the 32 Toss podcast a couple days ago is you're going to need Anton Lundell to step in and mm-hmm. kind of be that mini Barkov. Could we see Lundell possibly taking a run for at least Selke – consideration, especially if he's
might get some
up.
Like down ballot votes, but
because
I would say like especially I would say Hischier and Reinhart are probably in my opinion the two like clear front runners yeah. for that award. He's gonna have to really like step up his game to mm-hmm. I know he's pretty decent numbers analytically defensively, but you know those other guys are in a league above him.
Yeah, going out to the Jack Adams Award, I have John Hines of the Minnesota Wild winning it. Last season, I think I had Turgeon, whatever. I think it's Andre, whatever.
Ade Chersny of the Utah Mammoth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking at
Pierre Turgeon.
Wrong guy, guys. Wrong guy. So I look at the Minnesota Wild where if they end up getting that third spot in the Central Division, which I think they will, as long as Kaprizov stays fucking healthy, mind you, I think John Hines can go out and win it. And maybe I'm, again, being a little bit super high on the Minnesota Wild like I have the last couple seasons. But, I mean, you could also cast out other votes to guys like Bruce Cassidy or, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but the Utah coach. You know, maybe even Rick Tocchet of Philly if they overperform a little bit. I mean,
Philadelphia would have to make the playoffs.
I think that if they, I don't think Philly's going to be good. I have them finishing, I think, 7th in the Metro.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Rick Tocchet would be a whatever. Even Scott Arneal of Winnipeg, too, if they have another really good season, especially without Ehlers. So there's a lot of good coaches, but I'm going with John Hines.
I don't remember who I picked last year. I honestly
don't have no idea.
Yeah, but not that it matters. I am picking Andre Turgeon of the Utah Mammoth. I think the Mammoth will make the playoffs this year, and I think that's going to give him a lot of consideration anyway. Mm-hmm. I think what will slam dunk make him the winner is if they finish at the top three spot in their division.
Woo! If they finish top three in the Central Division, yes, he will be for sure. And if they finish top three in the Central Division, I will be so fucking wrong on them because I don't even have them making the playoffs, which would be insane if they got past, like, Colorado especially, or Minnesota, or Dallas, or Winnipeg.
While we're talking about Utah, I just want to bring up something real quick. So, Zach and our friend Chris are very, very high on a long time on Connor Ingram, goaltender for the Mammoth, and they were like, oh, you know, if he has a good season this year, Utah might be dangerous. They just traded him to the Edmonton Oilers for nothing.
Yep.
And they even retain salary on it.
So I'm looking at this as the goaltender of the future for the Edmonton Oilers. But like last offseason, though, dude, I put Connor Ingram in my honorable mentions for top 10 goaltenders in the league.
That was wild.
Dude, I was so fucking on like he's gonna take Vemelka's job and he's going to look good. And then a month into the season, it's like here's the player's assistant program, and I'm like, shit, there he goes. Now he's not good. And now he's currently
he's a decent backup. Like I wouldn't feel comfortable with him being my long term starter.
Stuart Skinner's a decent backup.
Well, that's the thing with it makes sense with Edmonton because they don't have a starting goalie right now. No. they have three like Stuart Skinner. You never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Calvin Pickard's a backup, pure backup, and Ingram's a backup.
Ingram's there in case one of them just complete. Oh, they're not gonna do anything.
Well, the thing is, like a lot of people were saying, like, oh, why didn't Edmonton just claim him off of waivers? Because then they couldn't send him down to the minors.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have so now that they waited on waivers, he got through waivers and they traded for him, they can send him right down to the AHL. So he'll be their AHL goalie, and then they can call him up if Skinner or Pickard get hurt or they're playing like dog shit.
Yeah, you know what? Like I'm off the Connor Ingram wagon clearly, but I'm kind of rooting for him. Like if he goes on to the AHL and like tears it up, like,
the trade makes sense for Edmonton, especially because they got him for nothing.
Right.
Like it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
Because, yeah, they need a goalie really bad right now.
Bang, we're going to the Stanley Cup Finals matchup. This is what everybody's been waiting for. I know a couple of my buddies will absolutely love what I'm going to say for 2 seconds. The Vegas Golden Knights against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
What the fuck, man? That's what I said. We did not talk about this beforehand.
No, we didn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my Toronto Maple Leafs friends and everything. I have Vegas winning in 6.
I didn't know we were doing game predictions, but okay. I have Vegas versus Toronto, and I also have Vegas winning. I'll say in 7. I'll give Toronto the 7th game.
I mean, too, like especially with Barkov being out, I don't see that.
That Panthers, changes everything. That changes everything.
I don't see Toronto losing to Carolina. Although Carolina's been there, done that in the Eastern Conference Finals many times.
I'm really curious to see what Toronto's going to look like the first couple months of the season without Mitch Marner. It's going to be very different.
It will be. I mean, this is a season where I think Matthews is going to be like a prove it. Like him and Nylander are going to be like a fuck you, you know, type of thing. And I think their depth, too, is going to help the Maple Leafs propel them. Getting Nicholas Juan the signing train. Getting Matias Maselli. And now you have Scott Lofton for a full season.
They have good goaltending now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I think Lofton is out week to week with the injuries. So
they'll
be
okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. But yeah, like they just got a new contract done with Stolarz, extended him. They have Joseph Woll, who's a solid goaltender. So, I mean, I think the pieces are finally falling into place, and Austin Matthews not coming into the season fully healthy. I think Nylander's going to be really good, and I think Tavares has less pressure, like you've talked about in previous episodes, where now on just a smaller contract, he doesn't have as much spotlight on him. So, I mean, you're looking at a team is they're probably going to come out of the Eastern Conference unless Carolina gets their shit together. And, I mean, I really think it's those two teams. Like, I don't see any other team really competing with them.
Yeah, in the East, it's – yeah. I would say, yeah, with Barkov being hurt, because we knew that Matthew Tkachuk's going to probably miss half the season. I didn't think that really affected things too much as long as he was there for the playoffs. But I know the timeline on his injury, like short term, is 7 months. Mm-hmm. I don't see a world where Barkov's playing hockey in 7 months.
I agree.
Not with an ACL injury. I know science and medical recovery has come a long way since then, but I don't think it's a good idea to rush an injury like that.
I mean, it's fine to just keep him out for the season, especially when you've already been to 3 straight cup finals.
If they get like deep in the playoffs, which they very well could, mm-hmm. they're still a great team.
Yeah.
They're still deep. I mean, we'll see if Matthew can even stay healthy after he comes back. He's had injury issues in the past, regardless of this one as well. But
I mean, if
Florida makes it back, makes it to the conference finals, I could see Barkov potentially playing in there. It'd still be a long shot for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, in the East where it feels more closed off, in the West, even though I think Vegas is going to run through everybody, you still have Dallas, Edmonton, Winnipeg.
I'd say the East is far weaker than the West right now.
Very much so. With
the top teams. Because you look at the Metro Division, I really can't make an argument for any team but the Carolina Panthers. I don't even think they beat a hockey team of football right now. But Bryce Young sucks.
Yeah.
but the Carolina Hurricanes, I think a healthy Devils team would give them a challenge. But I think up and down their whole roster, they're the best in that division. They should come out to the Eastern Conference Final out of that Metro bracket. Unless the Panthers make the playoffs and they're in that Metro bracket and potentially upset the Hurricanes in the first round.
Call me crazy for this. I sleeper pick out of the, at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, could be Ottawa too. A sleeper pick. Now, I don't think they will, but I mean, a team that's only getting better, they got the playoff taste, they have the goaltender, they have
yeah,
the depth.
I think Ottawa will be better this year. I really like the fight I saw out of them in the playoffs mm-hmm. last year when they looked like they were going to get swept. And yeah. they ended up forcing six games. They almost forced a seventh game. Like, they fought really hard. I think they learned a lot from that. I think they'll be back. I think they're probably going to be locked into a 2 or 3 spot against probably Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, Toronto should come out of the Atlantic. I think the only team that will give them problems would be the Panthers, and yeah. we'll see. Like, I still think the Panthers are going to make the playoffs.
Me too.
I don't know. Maybe people are going to crucify us for this, but I think they're much less threatening without Alexander Barkov. I know they have a really deep team. They have great players, but he just so much for them.
I don't think that's a bad take. Like, the Panthers without Barkov are just, they're a much worse team.
Like they're just still great. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think they are still a playoff team. I think they'll either get the third spot in the Atlantic or they will be a wild card team. I would be shocked if they didn't make the playoffs. They'd have to have a lot more things go wrong.
I want to move on to the bold predictions, if you're cool with that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start off here with the Panthers make the playoffs. However, though, they are a first-round exit.
I don't think that's a crazy take.
You don't think that's a crazy take?
Depends who they play. If they, like, lost to Ottawa, I'd be kind of shocked. But
that would be fucking insane.
Yeah. Or if they lost to Tampa Bay, I'd be shocked. Something like that. Or if they lost to any team in the Metro, I'd be shocked. I think Carolina, if they had to play, can you imagine being the Hurricanes? You win your division, and then you have to play the fucking Panthers in the first round, and Barkov is somehow back.
It's like, dude, if Barkov's back for the first round in the playoffs, dude, they shot him up with something. They gave him a new fucking knee. That would be fucking wild.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a I don't think that's a bold prediction. I think
okay,
it's kind of mild.
Okay. All right, we'll go on to another bold prediction here. This is definitely hot. Dustin Wolf is a finalist for the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah, I think that's a little crazy.
That is not crazy, dude. I think that's...
He's a good goalie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's that good yet. I think the team in front of him has to get a lot better first. Can he be that in, like, a few years? Yeah, for sure. Not this year.
I think there is a shot if Calgary makes the playoffs again.
Calgary's not making the playoffs.
I don't have them making the playoffs, but if they do and he puts up a 917, 918 save percentage, and as long as there aren't three goaltenders having a 920 plus save percentage going off.
Having one of the best statistical goaltending seasons ever.
Yeah, as long as no goaltenders. I mean, you had three goaltenders who were finalists that were all like 920 plus save percentage.
Even a couple of years ago when Allmark won the Vezina, he had an insane year. Like, it was not even close.
He was like at 925, 926, something like that. I mean, I think it is possible that there's a reason why it is a bold prediction. I don't have him being a finalist, but I think he could be, though. Last but not least, I have, this is all point related in terms of players. Connor Bedard hits 100 points. Matvei Michkov gets 90 plus points. And Jack Eichel and Marner both record each separately 110 plus points.
I don't think Bedard will get 100 points. I don't think Michkov will get 90. I don't know if both of them will get 110, but I think they'll both have 100 plus.
Originally, I was thinking of doing one of them, but I was like, that's clearly not a bold prediction. Let me throw both in, and I think it's possible for both of them. And I think
if Connor Bedard gets 100 points, that would be shocked. And that's really not a shot at him. That's just the team's bad, man.
I think that this is it's his third season.
What, he had like 60 points last
year? Yeah, but he looks so much better in training camp in the preseason.
Okay, let's see him in a real game.
All right, fine. He'll get 3 points in the first game.
I mean, are we just saying shit now?
Yeah, we're going off the top of the dome here.
Okay, well, I just it's going to come up with a bold prediction for this season. Sidney Crosby will not finish the season a Pittsburgh Penguin.
I was going to put Crosby gets traded by the trade deadline, but I was like, I don't know if I want to touch that button. And you just fucking touched that button.
I don't know what team will trade for him, but I think Pittsburgh's going to be awful this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if Crosby... this is all has to be initiated by Crosby. If he wants to ask for a trade, he said he's happy where he is.
Yeah.
No indications that he's going to request a trade, but he still got that fire burning inside of him, and he wants to win again.
You know, I'll give you one with that as well. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Erik Karlsson are all traded.
I see. That just popped into my head. Like, what if they trade Malkin and Crosby together in a package deal?
Florida Panthers, you are getting...
No, no. I can't get away with that anymore.
Dude, I saw somebody on Twitter the second Barkov went out. He's like, Evgeny Malkin, you are a Florida Panther.
I think Malkin will definitely get traded.
I think so, too.
I think... His cap, was he got like a $6 million cap hit? That's a very tradable contract. You can even retain salary on that.
50% retain?
That's a very tradable deal. And I could see a team like Florida making a trade. A cup contender will trade for him.
I really think this is the deadline where, especially the Penguins are really that bad where they blow it up. We're talking like Ricard Raquel, Brian Rust, I think, are two prime trade candidates.
They had a bunch of interest in both of those players in the offseason, decided not to trade either one of them. But yeah, I think they're going to be open for business.
I agree with that. And Dubas has stated, too, like, he does want to blow it up. But again, when you have Sidney Crosby, you have Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Karlsson on your team, like, it's kind of hard to do that. So, I mean, we'll see where the Penguins go with it this season. And, I mean, I really love that bold prediction. Storylines heading into the season. I know we kind of touched on the storylines early in the offseason, but obviously new storylines pop up, right? So, obviously, the obvious ones, can the Panthers three-peat? That's going to be the one because they've already been to three straight Stanley Cup finals.
I mean, it would be crazy if they made it to a fourth Stanley Cup final, let alone three-peat. When was the last time that happened, when the Islanders won four in a row?
In the 80s, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see a world where the Panthers get to a fourth, especially with all the adversity they're going through right now.
If there's going to be a team to overcome all the chips that have fallen for them, how could you not pick the Panthers to do it, though?
That's true. Like I mentioned earlier in the episode, the coaching is there. The roster.
It's just the
there.
Mentality, man. Like they do not care.
They don't. Like
they don't care who they're playing, what the stakes are. They just show up and they're gonna play their game.
They're gonna play. They have no mental barrier blocking them. I mean, they obviously know they can do it. So next up, Malkin's final ride in Pittsburgh. Obviously, we just touched on, you know, maybe he could be traded by the deadline, but Dubas has already come out saying that he's not going to retain Malkin, and Malkin's future in the NHL, just in general, is uncertain. Is he going to sign with another team? Is he going to go in the KHL or just plan out retire? Like, at this point, though...
I think it depends how this year goes for him. If he can, like, have, like, a 60, 70-point year, I think he could play another year or two in the league.
Yeah.
If he starts to kind of, like, dip downward, I think a team will trade for him. I think he'll have his list. He has a full no movement clause, so he'll essentially get to pick where he gets traded to.
This could be another Brad Marchand situation where A, obviously he's gonna pick where he wants, but also B, it's gonna be like, okay, he's getting up there in age, he's been in the league for 15 plus years, and we'll see what happens. Maybe let's say he gets traded to a team and they're like, here's another 4-year, 5-year contract worth X, you know, a low AAV. And then it's just kind of like ride it out. And then, you know, he gets thrown on LTIR or whatever.
I do think this will be his last year in the NHL, though. I don't think he's going to retire. I think he is going to go back to Russia, though. And finish his career there.
Yeah, for kind of pull what Pavel Datsyuk did and Jaromír Jágr. Well, I know Jágr didn't go to the KHL, obviously. But, I mean, he left the NHL to go play and check and everything like that. Last but not least, Marner joins Eichel in Vegas. And
I added a couple.
You added a couple? Yeah. Oh, I didn't even see them there.
I took Ovi's last ride, McDavid watch, and how different the trade deadline is going to be this year with
the trade deadline is the new salary cap rules. Yes.
So yeah, you go on with Mitch Marner.
Yeah, you look at. I know we already touched on Marner and Eichel a little bit in Vegas, but you have the top free agent in the entire league. You end up doing a sign in trade. You only give up Nicholas Waugh for him, and now
I think they will miss Waugh. He's a good depth player.
Yeah, and now...
Obviously, you're getting Mitch Marner, so you're not going to be too upset.
Vegas has the firepower, dude. It's insane. It's going to be fun to watch Marner in Vegas, and it sucks that he doesn't return to Toronto until, like, fucking January, because
that's going
to
be a must-watch game, though.
It is going to be a must-watch
game. I just want to see how the audience is going to react. I think they're going to boo the hell out of him.
You're going to see a million fucking boos. I hate that, too. Mitch
Marner... Over under how many jerseys get thrown on the ice?
6.5.
I'll take the under.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking higher, and I think even 6.5 is kind of too
much. Jersey's too expensive to be thrown on the ice, man.
That's right. I mean, a lot of these fans don't give a fuck.
dude, I'm not. That jersey's like $300 now.
Maple Leafs fans are rich.
No, they're not.
They're fine. Their tickets are $300 for.
The only thing I'll probably fucking put on Klarna or something like that.
Oh my god! All right, you go ahead.
Yeah. So a couple I added is this Ovi's last year in the NHL. There was a lot of rumors over the summer that after this contract was over, this is the last year of his deal, that he's just going to call it a career. Doesn't really have anything left to prove, and I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, the only way that Ovi stays for another year is if he's really adamant on hitting 1,000 goals. But, I mean, I know there was, I don't know, it was an interview or whatever, but, I mean, you know, he breaks the record, and he kind of said that he just wants to retire after that. And with it being the last year of his deal, I really think there is no way in hell that Ovi is in the NHL. I mean, he might pull the same thing with Malkin and go play in the KHL for another
I don't think he's going to stop playing.
Yeah.
When he goes back to Russia to play in the KHL, he's going to be the king of the world.
He's going to be a god.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy work.
Well, he's like a national hero there.
He is.
The greatest goal scorer of all time. Yeah. But another one I had is, you're going to hear this all year until something changes with it, is Connor McDavid and his contract. Is the longer he's not signed, the more chatter you're going to hear about him leaving.
And I kind of hate that about the media. Now, I can't technically call myself, like, I'm part of the media and everything.
We are the media, yeah.
No, that's true. But, like...
We're not going to talk about it.
That, exactly. And, I mean, is there a world where McDavid could leave Edmonton? Yes, but I think there's a higher chance that he does stay in Edmonton.
I think he will stay in Edmonton. I can't even wrap my brain around what would happen if he became a UFA. I cannot even...
If I'm McDavid, dude, listen. I'm like, I want to build the drama up, become a UFA, fucking don't sign for like 2 weeks.
Well, I don't think if McDavid became a UFA, he's not going to sign minute one of free agency.
No.
It's going to be a process where there's going to be a list of teams. He's going to fly out. They're going to, similar to when John Tavares was a free agent, where he had a list of teams he was interested in signing with. He went and flew out, met with them. They pitched him, and then he made his decision.
Yep.
I don't think this is going to be amount money for him if he becomes a UFA. I think it's going to be where he could feel like kind of similar like when LeBron James became a free agent for the first time in his career, where I think teams actually flew to him.
Yeah.
And he decided Miami was the best place for him to go win a championship, and he won a championship there.
All right, so list off, I don't know if you can do this off the top of my head, but list off potential suitors outside of Edmonton.
That's really tough. I think Toronto will definitely make a pitch.
Mm.
They have to. Wouldn't shock me if the Rangers the Rangers are always on big free agents. They have some big money coming off the books this year, but with Panarin. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, there's not many teams. I think every team would at least call. Like, that could afford it. I think Buffalo would be very interested. Mm-hmm. Not that he would sign there.
No, but I mean, it doesn't hurt to at least try to talk to him and his agent.
Yeah, of course. I mean, nobody thought the Sabres were going to get Taylor Hall a few years ago. That went really well.
That worked out.
That worked really well.
I mean, I think, like, even Carolina would call him.
Oh, Carolina, I think, they have the cap space for it. That would be wild.
And I know Vegas would have cap space.
No,
but
there's no chance.
Vegas will at least call.
If Connor McDavid is on the Vegas Golden Knights, I will not watch hockey anymore.
They would be the fucking 2017 to 2019 Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fun to watch.
That would be literally Kevin Durant joining the Warriors.
Imagine McDavid like as a UFA. He takes like, yeah, I'll do like a 3x5.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
Chooses evil.
Shut up. That is the worst scenario I've ever heard in my life.
What does that mean when Kevin Durant like made his decision to go to Golden State? Like, I know there was a meme.
There was a cupcake meme.
No, he like put out this essay.
He put out an essay?
Oh yeah, like writing out. I can't write out. It's gonna drive me crazy.
Are you saying this is gonna happen with McDavid if he left?
No, if he like went to like Vegas or something, where. Because everyone was like, when KD became a free agent, it was like, he's not going to Golden State. And then he signed with the Warriors, and they were, my next chapter, that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what would be, first off, McDavid's not the type to do this, but imagine Vegas knocks out Edmonton, come free agency. Vegas calls him up and is like, listen, we're gonna do our best to come get you. They fucking trade everybody to clear up cap space. They already signed Eichel to $15 million.
They're not going to blow up their depth for that. There's no world where Connor McDavid is on the Vegas Golden Knights unless if he took like a contract. I think the NHL like for like a low below like $10 million, the NHL would have to all 31 other teams in the league would have the NHL investigate Vegas for collusion.
Yeah.
And like rigging or something.
I think the two most likely teams, if he does not leave Edmonton, I'm sorry, if he does leave Edmonton, is Toronto and Carolina. I think are really the only two teams that I
think
really
Carolina
see.
Would be perfect. I think he might be the missing piece.
And I think he might take a little bit less in Toronto because it is his hometown team.
I don't know if he'd want to play in Toronto. I don't know if he'd want to deal with that.
The media and being fucking killed by everybody.
I don't think he'll leave Edmonton. So I think
this is it's like, a pointless conversation.
I can't wait till in June when we're talking about McDavid where he's going to sign. And the last thing I had was the last year of the current CBA. Next year starts a new one. They are implementing some changes so for that new CBA mm-hmm. this year, and one of them is LTIR exploit no longer is really a thing. I think the max you can get for putting a player in LTIR is like $3 million. Mm-hmm. It's the average NHL salary in the league, and there are now salary cap in the playoffs, so you can't see teams like Florida stashing Barkov and LTIR, then going out and getting the best rental in the market, and then he's magically ready for game one, like teams have done the last few years. So I think that's going to make the deadline very different.
It's could make it a little bit boring.
I think you're going to see players that have tradable contracts go for much more than they used to.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you're going to see some of
like
these.
Malkin's a good example. Like, I know he's, what, is he 38, 39?
Something like that.
Like, how much gas do you have left in the tank? But you can potentially get him on a $3 million cap hit. And if you're a team, like a cup contender, and you have, like, $4 million in cap space, and he's one of the best rentals out there, Pittsburgh's going to have a bidding war.
If you're fucking Colorado, Florida, fucking, I don't know.
Vegas.
Like, any cup contender. Like, Carolina, like, go out and Pittsburgh might sit here and be like, give us the first round pick.
I think guys would like trade up. I think the value on play. I think we're going to see less trades, but the trades that do happen, I think you're going to get more compensation for.
You're going to see more Gustav Nyquist for a second round pick trades,
mm-hmm.
which obviously you'll be like, what the fuck are they doing?
Or like, for example, like when Tampa Bay traded for Olivier Bjorkstrand from mm-hmm. Seattle, they gave him 2 first round picks.
Yep.
Which is kind of crazy, but he had another year left on his contract and he fit under their cap.
Yeah. And it's something that they had to do so, and they liked them, obviously. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, we could see a lot of that. It could be more hectic, though. It could be more of like, oh, my God, this player went for this, and this player just went for...
I think we could see more hockey trades, too, where it's player for player instead of trading a bunch of draft picks. And when players do get traded for draft picks, I think they're going to go for more.
Yeah, we could see a lot more of the Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost type trades that Calgary and Philly made last year, et cetera, where it's 2 for 2, 2 players, whatever, or 2 for 1s, excuse me, too. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I don't mind that storyline. It's going to be an interesting
Yeah, I think it's going to be very, very different deadline.
It is. That's going to end it for today's episode. If you guys enjoy all of our content, head over down to the description below and check out all of our social media as well as subscribe. Notification bell. New episodes are every single Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And we'll see you guys in our next episode.